This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Saturday here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Danny Klinkscale with you in Omaha, Nebraska on this Saturday, the day of an Elite Eight for the first time since 2010 and just the second time since 1988 the Kansas State Wildcats will play in the Elite Eight. And a good afternoon. It's still morning here, but it just became afternoon in Atlanta, Georgia, and Stan Weber joins us. Stan, how are you? And we have a gloomy, cool, misty day here in Omaha. What do you have down in hot Atlanta?
I think we have about the same without the water. I don't see any moisture, but there is no sun in sight. So I don't know what's blanketing the nation all the way from where you are to where I am. Looks a little gloomy and traffic jams. It's Atlanta, Danny.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Welcome to traffic jam. You know, you got Houston and you got Atlanta that are always going to be good for some traffic jams. So it is true. You know, I didn't realize Atlanta not that long ago, and I don't know what that means, if it's 20 years or whatever, but was actually just over 2 million people, metropolitan area, much like Kansas City, and now there's 6 million. So just unbelievable growth. Just, you know, it's fun to learn a little history when you're out around. I didn't know all those things about Atlanta. It's really the first time that I stayed here any amount of time. So, nope, not warm and sunny. I thought maybe going to the south, southeast that we enjoy. Sometimes NCAA tournament time, it doesn't feel like basketball weather. It feels like spring baseball, and you're just so excited that it's warm outside. It really hasn't been that way. You know, it's not cold, but for Atlanta, the temperatures have actually run a little colder than we've seen in Kansas City during the last few days.
No doubt about that, but certainly there's no gloom as far as the atmospheres here in Omaha and Atlanta, except for the weather, because we have real excitement. And, you know, you don't have what you'd call a marquee matchup, but it's an America's darling type of matchup. And K-State has now in consecutive games, and I think you mentioned twice in three games, and I think you mentioned this the other yesterday when we talked about it. You know, Kansas State not only is the position where they're supposed to win the game, although they just are barely a favorite, and in fact the game opened as a toss-up, but not many people around the country, not that K-State really cares or will know, will be rooting for Kansas State. I mean, when they played at UMBC, everybody in the world, no doubt, was rooting for that team. And now with the buzzer-beating antics of the lovable Loyola of Chicago team, that'll be the same scenario. So playing the bogeyman is the role that Kansas State has been thrust into.
Yeah, it's a little surprising to be in that role. I think last week will really help, though, because, boy, who couldn't love UMBC? University Maryland Baltimore County, if you didn't know what they were named. I didn't. I mean, going into this tournament, I had no idea who these guys were. And so they were such a big story, likable guys, humble, and tore Virginia apart. And you just couldn't help but root for the underdog, which we all like to do. But these guys played the role in a historic fashion, being the first 16 to beat a one seed. And all of that, and then you start looking at their lineup and saying that they could be dangerous the next round. They fought very hard. So there's no doubt. I've sat in my basement many, many times or with friends at different places watching the NCAA tournament, Danny, and I know I'm all in rooting for a team like UMBC. So we understood what it was like. I said on the air with Wyatt, I want everybody to understand, we like these guys a lot too. It's just K-State is our team, and they've got to go to work right now. So they've been through that, and that'll probably help them a little bit because I thought – overall, UMBC seemed more of a darling, Danny, than I think Loyola Chicago does to the K-State basketball players. They're very insulated. The routine that they're on, I'm around them a lot. They don't understand what the outside world is thinking. And I know a couple of the guys really well or know about them from the Loyola team. And I was around Clayton Custer and Ben Richardson when they were interviewed by the national media yesterday. And that was one of the questions. Do you realize what Sister Jean and what's happening with the nation and how much they're loving your story and what you're doing and wanting to see you guys continue on. And they basically said, we think we understand, but really we're so busy, we don't know what's going on. And I think that's really a truism It insulates you. That takes away a little momentum, I think, for Loyola Chicago. I don't think they feel the love of the nation. They're just trying to play basketball. But I do think it helps K-State. I don't know. K-State, you could tell them mentally, don't you realize that you're the bad guys here and the ones everyone's rooting against? But that really doesn't register very much. So it won't be a very big factor in today's game. In a UMBC game, Danny, North Carolina fans poured into the place to watch their North Carolina team. And it was going to be a factor because the crowd was going to be heavily against K-State. It was a known factor. North Carolina losing cleared out some of the crowd in the first game, so it wasn't as much of a factor. But I think it'll be less here. You know, Illinois-Chicago will have a good crowd here. A lot of people came down from Chicago and want to be a part of this. But it's not like the whole stadium is going to be rooting against K-State. And, in fact, they got kind of used to that. They just played Kentucky. Guess who showed up at Atlanta? You know, the Big Blue Nation, Danny. So
that's right.
The Wildcats were playing in an arena in the last game where no one was rooting for them. So I really think all these factors are the non-factors. Well, the big factor is the nervousness of it being that close. You know, it's that close. You know, it's like a AFC championship game to an NFL team. Saying you went to the Super Bowl and saying you went to the AFC championship game are so different in what you'll think the rest of your life, your legacy, the respect level you'll get. And it's really that way in basketball, man. I mean, look at the difference between being a team that makes the Elite Eight. You're sitting there with Kansas. I didn't realize this, but they said that this is the first time ever that KU's gone to three straight Elite Eights, something like that. But that doesn't register with us because they've lost the previous two. You know, making the Final Four vaults you into history that's just a territory you never expected to be. So I think that's the big factor. How nervous are they about the difference between winning and losing this game? There's been nothing like this for this group of kids. And they've been on a magical ride, but now they are the favorite, Danny. They're going to be wearing white uniforms. And if you don't make it, you'll just remember this for the rest of your life. So that negative pressure, you know, that's what I feel building up in my body a little bit, not the excitement. I was excited to play in the Sweet 16 and play Kentucky. Now you feel the ups and the downs. You can smell the victory and what it'll mean, but you can also see the loss and how painful it's going to be. You see what I'm saying? Players can't think that way.
Oh, yeah.
But that's the issue today.
No doubt about that. And what we often see in Elite Eight games are pretty ugly games. The teams are tight, at least for a while. And the gravity of the situation, you can see it in the way that they play. Now, Kansas State has won two consecutive games that kind of looked like that. Do you think they can win a third consecutive game that looks like that?
Yeah, they can, but it doesn't mean they're necessarily going to win. They can play a game like that and not let it hurt their functioning. In K-State, you know, you got to look at this. Loyola has done a nice job. I mean, they've beaten some ranked teams. They've beaten some good teams. Number 22, Miami. Number 13, Tennessee. Number 24, Nevada. It's been a really tough road for them, but they have set a record of winning three games by the fewest number of points ever in NCAA tournament, 4 points. So they've made winning plays at the end. And K-State has never won as many games decided by 10 points or less in the history of the basketball program. So they're sitting on 16 wins, Danny. So K-State will function well at the end. Loyola will function well at the end. And I think you're going to see one of those games. This 1.5 line, there's great probability that's going to be low scoring, and it's going to be a battle, and neither team's going to get down on themselves. They're going to think they can win. They don't worry about being pretty about it. And then we're going to play those last 3 or 4 minutes. And, wow, how are they going to respond then? Is one team going to get tight? You see, you've been on the road in these games so much, Danny. I think you can talk about it. You're right there in the arena. How many times has Kansas felt the gravity of a close game in the last 3 minutes?
And yeah, don't maybe like never. Maybe never more than that I've seen from start to finish in the Elite Eight game against Davidson when they were absolutely positively supposed to win. And they played tight as a drum, and they had to survive a last-second shot to advance. So otherwise, Bill Self would be 1-6 in Elite Eight games and wouldn't have a national championship. So that was a key thing. The team from Loyola Chicago, to me, one of the keys for K-State is the fact that team shoots a high percentage, and you don't do that unless you get great shots, and they are perfectly willing to run their offense and run their offense and run their offense. That lends itself to me to a good scenario for K-State, where they could have Loyola of Chicago deep in the shot clock on multiple occasions and force them into the kind of shots they don't like, which are bad shots.
Well, I think you said it very well, Danny. I was kind of chuckling to myself and looking at all the history, like you would at this point, great K-State basketball history. I think back to the Jack Hartman days. If Loyola Chicago were playing against Jack Hartman's teams, I would tell you there would be multiple minute possessions by Loyola Chicago. They refuse to take a bad shot. They continue to drive and pitch and pump fake and move, and they won't get tired, and they would take forever to get a shot, and then they would find an open shot and rip it. I mean, they hit 13 straight shots to start the second half against Nevada. Nevada was like Kentucky against K-State, taller than them everywhere, but they just wouldn't take a bad shot, and they make them. I think the 30-second clock is really magical for K-State in this game, Danny. Like you said, if it were a 40-second clock, I'd give even more advantage to Loyola, or 35. But at 30 seconds, I think K-State's defense is going to cause them some problems. How are they not going to have to take some forced shots? Just because you run good offense and you hit 50% of your shots, Danny, doesn't mean you're going to be open in the 30 seconds against K-State. And that may be the thing that gets K-State over the hump. If they have to shoot the ball, and they got a guy down low, I don't know if you know much about this freshman or fans do, Krutwig. He's Cameron Krutwig. He's a little overweight, kind of soft-looking, just looks like a beer league guy, you know, just knows how to score.
Right.
He's lethal. He is lethal down low. I mean, he doesn't dunk, but he can
he's got rec league game. I mean, you know, the ball fakes, you know, the guy who goes down there and until he's played at your gym five times, nobody would ever want him on their team, and then everybody's going to want him.
Yeah, he makes 60% of his shots, you know. He's like Doak, except for Doak just is a monster and slam it at home and is dramatic. He's never going to get above the rim, but he can spin and turn and stretch his legs out and not travel. He can score. But guess what? I don't think he has an advantage over McCall Maywean. I think he has no advantage. McCall Maywean can guard him all day long. And he may win some of the battles, but they're not going to cut K-State apart by getting the ball down low. Clayton Custer, I've seen this kid grow up. He's in his fourth year. He's under control. He doesn't force shots. He's the leading scorer, Danny, but he doesn't shoot the ball that often. He makes 53.5% of his shots. He waits till he's open. He dribbles, he pumps, he pump fakes, he moves. They do everything right. But Barry Brown can guard him for 30 seconds and never give him an opening. And you can just go down the line. Xavier Sneed can guard the next guy. So K-State is going to cause them some problems. If they get open, they'll cause K-State problems because they don't miss. I mean, they take good shots and they really make K-State, stay on the floor, don't get pump faked, all those kind of things. But I think where K-State wins this game, if you want to be positive and talk about how K-State gets it done, I think that matchup, Loyola offense against K-State defense, is the feature thing. And I think the 30-second clock is the differential because it's not enough time.
Right. I absolutely agree. That's the situation. That's why I think because K-State has not been playing great offense, let's talk about them attacking the Loyola Chicago defense and what K-State will have an advantage of, which maybe in some games they don't, is athletically.
Yeah, K-State will not be looking around at an athletic deficiency. In fact, they'll be slightly better when you look around. This game will come down to if K-State is playing a close battle game, the two things that K-State will have to do to win the game. Number one is K-State is really good at stealing the ball, Danny, not just creating turnovers. That's two different things, right? You can create turnovers. K-State's good at that. But getting steals, steals that lead to points at the other end, and K-State's very good at that. Barry Brown, Xavier Sneed especially. And it's going to be hard to score against the defense of Loyola if they get set. They don't even send five guys to go rebound. So if they miss a shot, and oh, by the way, they're the third best in the country at making shots, so why waste a lot of guys running to the boards when you're not that big and athletic if you're going to make it anyway? But, you know what I'm saying? But they send three guys back. But if they do miss, if K-State, you know, we got a big differential. They hit over 50%. K-State holds teams to like 35%. What are we going to get here today? But if they miss, they don't care about the offensive rebound. They care about getting back on transition defense. That's smart. Don't let K-State get out in the open floor. So I don't think the Wildcats will get rebounds and fast breaks. That's not going to be a part of the game today. It's going to be a half-court game. But if K-State can get a couple of steals, think about the play against UMBC. I mean, that was a war. They were so good on defense, and so was K-State. But when Xavier Sneed got that steal late and went down and dunked the ball, that really was the differential in the ball game. So K-State needs to get 4 or 6 points, not off turnover, but I mean just an easy two-on-one break or one-on-none steal and score. And that could be a giant differential in the game. If that doesn't happen, Danny, now we're down to the last thing. And if you're Loyola and you're saying, we're going to make a clutch play to win the ball game, how's K-State going to beat us and not have it be a last-second shot type game? It'll be K-State hitting the outside shots. And the Wildcats are not reliable doing that, and Loyola's going to force them. They're going to pack it in and not let you get the ball easily to the inside. They're not going to let you drive the ball very easily. Blue Valley Northwest, Ben Richardson, is a very good defender. He's a lockdown defensive player of the year in the Missouri Valley Conference. He's there, Barry Brown. So K-State's going to have trouble finding ways to go score the basketball. Maybe Cartier Jada will be more athletic, driving the ball to the basket once or twice. Maybe Barry Brown can get that going. If those things happen, the Wildcats win. But I do expect it to come down to this. K-State's going to have to make some outside shots. And if they do, if they make some outside shots, then Loyola's in trouble. If K-State makes 9, 2 out of the 3 tournament games, K-State made 9 three-pointers. If they do that, then K-State's going to separate. And they're going to look like the more athletic team. And they're going to talk about how, Loyola's just an MVC team. And K-State's the Big 12. And there's 3 in the Elite 8 from the Big 12. And the Wildcats are obviously better. And here we go to the Final Four. But if the Wildcats don't hit a medium amount, then they could be in trouble. Because Loyola will dare them to take the shots. And if K-State knocks down 1, 2, or 3 three-pointers, then I think Loyola has the advantage to win the ball game. So I think Loyola, to win the game, needs to hope that K-State can't make outside shots, don't get any steals for easy baskets, and then play to a close game again and go down the last shot and try to win it again. That's Loyola's plan, and the Wildcats is just the opposite of that.
Xavier Sneed has been a low-percentage player this year, 41% from the field, 33% from three-point range, but he basically, I'm not going to say single-handedly won it because they had to play great defense and do a variety of things, but his performance was absolutely vital in the last game. Give me a percentage of expectation that he can do even two-thirds of that in this game today, because if he plays like he did the other night, they're going to win. I think that's plain and simple, but that certainly has not been his season's resume.
Yes, that's right, Danny, and I love making references to football because I think I have those put in my brain a lot better. When you go back and look at a little bit older time football, and you and I talk often about how turnovers are just completely unacceptable now. I mean, every interception by a quarterback is a disaster in modern football. But you go back 30 years ago, you would look at the positives that someone produced and not worry about the negatives. And every once in a while, we'll turn on an old game and my sons will be watching with me, and they're just used to modern football. And I go, God, those guys don't have good ball security at all. Look at all the, they'll fumble. Teams used to lose 2 fumbles a game, and throw an interception or 2 a game. And it is no big deal. Both teams did it. It evened out. And the ball security was awful. Well, Xavier Sneed reminds me of an old quarterback or running back in the day, where he doesn't think that it's unusual to miss. It has nothing to do with his confidence. Does that make sense? I mean, I'm complimenting him,
right,
that he doesn't get down on himself. He just plays. He believes in himself. He thinks he's a good shooter. He knows he's a great defender, and he is going to be a factor and hard to deal with. But he's going to launch 6 or 7 three-pointers, Danny, and he's going to believe every time he goes up, it's going in. I can't tell you that the odds are with him. I mean, when he started ripping them against Kentucky, that was a giant differential, and it will be. If K-State, I've said this a lot, Danny, and Xavier Steed's the guy to look at, but Kamal Stokes could fill in the gap too, because he's cold right now. He's a good three-point shooter, but he's cold. If those two guys hit some threes, Danny, and the Wildcats are posting 7 to 10 three-point shots, they can win a national championship. I mean, they do the other thing so well. The thing that's missing is they don't have that reliable, lethal shot from the outside. Since Kamal's been injured, they don't shoot the ball from outside as well. Dean Wade's their best three-point shooter. He's likely to be unavailable. But if Xavier Sneed, Kamal Stokes step up and get the Wildcats near 5 three-pointers or more, then they're going to beat Loyola. But I have no, you know, you talk about percentage. I would say 20% chance that Xavier Sneed replicates at all what he did against Kentucky on the shooting side. But it won't affect him. He will not get down on himself. And you know that's not true with some players. Some players in an Elite Eight, this is a different pressure. This, in a lot of ways, is the most pressured game of the year for these teams. The difference between going to the Final Four and not is so extreme. They're also coming off a game where they just played. They're a little worn out, right? They only played 2 days ago, and it's less than 48 hours. All those things come into play. So their body's feeling, their brain's feeling things that they don't always feel. Sometimes a guy doesn't make his shot, and he'll let it affect other parts of his game because he knows the importance of this situation. The thing I will say, 100% confidence, Xavier Sneed will not be affected. This guy has – he's a warrior. He wants to win, and he does not get down on himself. He reminds me of a 70s quarterback who said, hey, Danny, we won. I threw three touchdowns. You go, what about those two interceptions and the time he got sacked and had bad ball security and fumbled? He's like, well, who cares? We always turn it over some. We won, didn't we? And that's Xavier Sneed. I like his attitude.
Let's and as usual, Stan, you have covered the waterfront completely. Now it's time to give us a sense of how this game plays and finishes.
I think an important point, we talked a lot about the emotion of today, and we can't get that out of our bodies. So I don't know how that factor will come in, but I think it's true of both teams. So I expect it to be close for a while and probably for a long while. Now, the thing I do think is critically important, and I said it right when we went into postgame, maybe I doused a little too much water. I thought about it a lot. Said, you know, maybe I should have just did backflips and said K-State beats Kentucky. K-State beats Kentucky. First time ever to beat Kentucky. Even Kansas fans are happy that you beat Kentucky because it stops their historical numbers, right? I mean, everybody's happy. We are the love of the country. Everyone's rooting against Kentucky. But what I said was, let's not make the same mistake that I saw in 2010. The celebration that we had along with the nation after that great game against Xavier, multiple overtimes, Gus Johnson calling it on TV, you know, hopefully a few people listening to us on radio. You guys had talk radio that Friday. I mean, it was a celebration of K-State basketball. They forgot about Butler, okay? 1988, K-State couldn't go to sleep after beating Purdue. I know Kansas fans know about the game because they beat K-State in the game. But K-State had a lead in the second half and just ran out of gas. The reason why they ran out of gas is they spent too much time up at night and celebrating the surprise win over Purdue. That's the thing that isn't in play here. This team got over the Kentucky win fast. They were on to the next game, and they respect Loyola. They do not think of them as an underdog or a early conference, non-conference game. I think that gives K-State a chance. So I do think K-State's going to win today because I think the focus has been where it should be and where it was not in 1988 and not in 2010.
Stan, we always appreciate the time. Go have some lunch and get yourself ready for the broadcast today, and we'll be listening.
Danny, have a lot of fun, and we're going to be able to, you know, we had a theorem here in this region. We're kind of down on ourselves. We're humble people in Kansas City and around here. Oh, the Big 12 isn't that good. I'm not going to buy it and all that. Well, guess what? Three teams in the Elite Eight, I think we'll be able to say, they had a pretty good year this year. So we'll be able to be a little more proud about ourselves as this weekend unfolds. Big time Big 12 basketball coming up.
No doubt about that. Stan Weber from Atlanta here on Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Danny Klinkscale in Omaha for Sports Saturday here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And we will wrap things up with more conversation about the Kansas State versus Loyola Chicago matchup with the coach and the guys from Loyola Chicago who will match up against K-State. But right now, a little bit of Kansas for you again as we've covered both teams in depth with Matt Tate, Stan Weber, and players and coaches themselves. Devontae Graham, sort of the engine for the Kansas Jayhawks, but with the emergence of Malik Newman late in the year, he hasn't been needed as much on offense, which is a good thing because his shot's kind of gone cold, 10 for his last 35. Found it a little bit in the game against Clemson after a 1-for-7 start. Knocked down a couple of three-pointers, probably feeling a little bit better about that. But Devontae Graham now ready and set for his third consecutive Elite Eight game, and he does not want to go 0-3. And that's a big part of what he talked about with myself and a group of reporters after the game last night.
Playing well and playing together and playing for each other, that we can beat anybody. So it doesn't really matter what everybody else say. We just want to be together and keep on surviving and advancing.
Was it the first time that doubt was a driving force, though, for Kansas since you've been here?
I think so. I think this year, I mean, every year it was doubt, you know, and some people or whoever the haters are. And but this year, more than all the years I've been here, I think that was a lot of driving. A lot of it being driving force.
When Clemson started coming back, what were you saying to your guys? How were you encouraging them?
I was just saying we got to close out the game. You know, we got to be strong with the ball. It's going to come down to free throws, so everybody be locked in. And when you get the ball, you know, just try to make the easy, simple play. Whoever's open, give it to them and just knock the free throws down.
How good was it to have Udoka back?
That was great. Yeah, he's healthier. You could tell. And, you know, he's just playing unbelievable right now.
Something you could tell the guys like Malik and Doak and Silvio that haven't experienced the Elite Eight, what you've experienced that can kind of maybe benefit them come on Sunday night?
I think we talked about a little bit with Coach. We can't be tight, you know. You know, you play all year and work hard all year just to be in this game to have a chance to go to the Final Four, and Sunday we're gonna have to come out and just play as loose as possible and do what we do.
You're gonna get this tournament
loose today. Say it again.
Feel pretty loose coming into this.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, we've been on an uptick, and guys got a lot of confidence, and there's no reason for us to be tight anymore. And I really think once we was tighter during a Big 12 run when we thought the title was on the line and stuff like that. So after that happened, we won that. I think we loosened up and we've been playing good.
Feel good for you to knock down a couple shots in the second half?
Definitely, man. I'm struggling at first, and it doesn't really matter. If I'm gonna play bad this bad and we keep winning, I'd rather play bad and win than play good and lose. So if that's the case, I'd rather play bad.
With the way that kind of put the cause, like what Sunday means for you?
I mean, I can't put it into words. I've been here twice and fell short, so you know that keeps it always in the back of your head, and you just want to try to get over that hump and. And that's about it.
What do you feel the next, I guess, 48 hours or so will be like as you wait for this game?
Tonight I'm just going to get some rest, recover, roll out, get my fluids back. Tomorrow we're going to prepare for whoever wins, and I'm not going to blow any energy, you know, thinking about it too much. And
a full year for this game.
Yeah, but, you know, you just got to be poised and calm, and you can't be thinking too much because that's when you don't play as well.
You said this was the craziest tournament that you could ever remember with all the upsets and everything. Knowing that and being part of the Elite Eight, how more special is it?
I mean, it's very special. All the one seeds getting knocked out and top seeds losing and stuff like that. So, you know, we the number one seed, and you know, we just been playing our butts off, and we're just going to keep believing in each other and playing with a lot of confidence.
Win so far, Devontae, in this tournament, but do you feel like his team still has another gear?
Definitely got another gear. You know, we do a good job of recovering and stuff like that with Hootie, so we're going to recover tomorrow, have a little practice, and get ready for Sunday.
Devontae Graham, a lot more has been asked of him this year, and he has produced, and as the team has improved as the year has gone along, he's probably had to do a little bit less, but I think he'll have to do a little bit more tomorrow. And I think one thing you look at for the work ethic and attention to detail of Devontae Graham is his free throw shooting. Each year at Kansas, he has shot more free throws, and each year at Kansas, his percentage has gone up. 724, 744, 793, 834 this year, while shooting almost 200 free throws this year. Yeah, he shot more this year, so his percentages have gone down, but he's been just a fantastic four-year growth player. And he's a delightful guy to be around, and I truly think that he believes that, no doubt he believes that thing about, if I have to play bad for us to win, I'm willing to play bad. But I don't think a lackluster Devontae Graham is a prescription for a win against Duke tomorrow. I mean, I guess we'll wait and see. Malik Newman has it going so well that I think maybe he could just be ordinary, but I kind of think he might have something special in his back pocket. They're going to need it. I don't think they're going to have to operate it pretty much close to an A-minus level, at least, I think, in the game against Duke, and which will be tough against the zone and things like that. But Devontae Graham trying to get that elite eight curse off of his resume and get a Final Four reward for him and his Kansas Jayhawks. That's on the line, too, for Kansas State and Loyola of Chicago. Real local flavor to what's upcoming from the players and coach of Loyola of Chicago. That's on Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Sunday right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thanks for joining us over the last near 3 hours. Brad Porter is up next with more NCAA tournament coverage. And then it's on to Westwood One. So a big day of college basketball, as today it will be really fun matchups and diverse matchups on the crazy side of the bracket, as Kansas State will take on Loyola of Chicago at 5:09 Central Time. And then it will be Florida State against the University of Michigan, and all of a sudden Michigan as a three seed becomes the team that is the highest ranked and certainly the favorite on that side of the bracket. And Florida State's just been no great shakes in the regular season. They were good. You know, you have to play in that conference, go through the wars of that conference. You're battle-tested, that's for sure, but they had their moments where they weren't particularly good. Michigan, talk about survive in advance. Their first two rounds weren't much at all. Then they hit another gear in their last game, and you'd have to make them a pretty solid favorite in this game. And I'd be really shocked if we're talking about a game where Michigan does not control this game. But they're only a 5-point favorite in the game, which is what Kansas was last night. And Florida State's an excellent defensive team. They always have big physical athletes, and Michigan has a lot of bases covered. They have good shooting. They have a big man inside. And John Beilein is an outstanding coach. So I expect Michigan to win this game. But Florida State, they truly will be a team, as we've talked about throughout this show, that they won't be a Cinderella, that even though they're a 9 seed, they're a power conference team, that this is finally the end of the road. I think they play more like grown men under Leonard Hamilton. So I think they can play pretty free and easy. And Michigan has been a good tournament team when they've gotten the opportunity of late, and obviously played in the national finals a couple of years ago and got a big lead in that game. But Michigan and Florida State going at it, and that one will provide the opponent for the winner of Loyola Chicago and Kansas State, and that, we've got great stories all over the place in that game. Unbelievable, and we talked to Stan Weber earlier this hour, and just thanks to Stan and thanks to Matt Tate for joining us on the program today. But Kansas State playing this tournament without, I think, their best player. Barry Brown, you know, is their leading scorer, but Dean Wade, and certainly over the back half of the season, had really been the Dean Wade that a lot of people saw the potential of. Dean Wade, from the time he stepped on a court for Kansas State, has shown the ability in certain games that makes you think he's an NBA player, a Kevin Love type of player who can do a whole bunch of things, but it just wasn't there consistently. Well, this year he did find that gear, but then a foot problem cropped up, and he has been compromised, and as we talked with Stan, you can't really expect much from him in this game. For Loyola Chicago, they win the Valley. They win the Valley Championship tournament, and it's kind of a debate among basketball people whether they would have been chosen to the field. Many people thought they would have warranted being chosen if they hadn't won the Valley tournament, but it's somewhat doubtful that they might have made the tournament. But anyway, they did win the tournament, and they make it in. And they have won their three games by a total of 4 points, as we've noted on more than one occasion. And obviously that's the not surprisingly, that's the best it's ever been, because all you could do is win them by three. That'd be the lowest, but they've won by four. And they've got the two great local products, Ben Richardson and Clayton Custer from Blue Valley Northwest. Custer, the player of the year in the Missouri Valley Conference. Ben Richardson, the defensive player of the year in the Valley. And they, in this piece from yesterday, talk a lot about Kansas City, a lot of Kansas City connections for them, a lot of Kansas City conversation. Another player from Blue Valley Northwest is on Kansas State's team, as they'll talk about here and showing. So delightful couple of young men among the players, but their coach, Porter Moser, is the first person you'll hear from here as the Cinderella Ramblers of Loyola Chicago talk about their Elite Eight appearance.
Coach Wyatt Thompson with Kansas State Radio, congratulations.
Thank you.
To this point. My question, I guess, is about Clayton. You mentioned being 29-2 with him in the lineup. Obviously, he has wonderful skill, but probably some intangibles too. I'm curious as to, A, what it's like coaching him, and could you tell us a little bit about, as a player, what stands out to you about him?
All these guys are coaches' dreams kind of kids. I mean, it's by design. That's how it's some of the character we recruit. But, you know, Clayton's one of those guys that it's like with how they talk about a great quarterback, you know, in the huddle. When you're in that huddle, you hear offensive linemen and other positions say, oh, you just know we're going to march down that field because the confidence that he instills and everything. That's the way they kind of feel with Clayton. You know, when Clayton has that ball and he's leading us, you have that comfort level that he's just got a high IQ. You talk about off the floor. I mean, he's an academic All-American. He's a first-class citizen. After practice, always getting his shots up. You don't have to coach. I can say this about all these guys. I don't have to coach energy. I don't have to coach effort. We can coach the fundamentals and the detail of a game. That's a big reason why I think we're making a step forward. You know, our time and energy is focused in on the culture of energy and effort is already instilled. Clayton is one of those guys. He's got a winning mentality, as a lot of them do. He's about winning. This is a great statement about Clayton Custer. The first game, Dante hit the big shot, and he was up here humbly saying, you know, any one of these guys could have taken that shot. The next night against Tennessee, Clayton hit that shot. He was humbly up here saying the same thing. And then we had a week where Clayton got a ton of hype. I mean, we're on campus. We had a welcome back party. Clayton was, you know, hit the shot to go to the Sweet 16. And he's in the position to do it again. And a lot of people were like, I'm going to go get that again. And he drew the help, drew the corner, and kicked it. And it was just a winning play. And then Marcus was the one that stepped up and hit the shot. He drew with 3 minutes left. Clay did the same thing. We drew a little play for him, drew the baseline turn, found Dre for a shot. Didn't try to force it. If he has it, he takes it. If he doesn't, he knows how to spray it. He's about winning instead of like, I got to get mine.
Tom Martin with KCTV. This is for Ben and Clayton. Clayton, I know you mentioned you had some friends who were Jayhawk fans back home. Any K-State connections for either of you, friends, family, et cetera?
Clayton, why don't you go first?
Yeah, I mean, me and Ben both know a lot of people from our high school that go to K-State. We have a lot of friends that go there, people who we were really close with in high school. So, we've definitely gotten some texts and calls from people who go to K-State for sure. Oh, I mean, they're pulling. I mean, I think that they're kind of pulling for us just because of our relationship. At least I hope they are. They might be saying that to my face. I don't know if they actually believe it or not. But it's all in good nature.
Ben?
Yeah, I mean, I've received lots of texts as well, and you know, I got a couple that were like, you know, cheering for you to win this game, but if K-State wins, then I don't know if I can pull for you, like joking around. But it's all in good nature. We got a lot of good support from back home, and it's been really good to see all the people reaching out to us.
Stephen Dial, 41 Action News, Kansas City. Clay and Ben, talk about three Blue Valley Northwest students in this. The exposure for Blue Valley Northwest, Overland Park, the Kansas City area, just in general, from two teams that, I mean, to be honest, a lot of people didn't expect. Talk about the exposure for the area back home.
Clay, start.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously really cool for us. I think we're making Coach Fritz a popular guy right now. He's been joking with us that we're making him famous. So I don't know. It's been really fun. It speaks to a lot of what Coach Fritz has done with that program at Blue Valley Northwest. I mean, he has to be one of the best high school basketball coaches in the country. So I'm glad that me and Ben are getting to experience this, as well as Mason over there at K-State. We have a real good relationship with him, and just happy for him that he's getting to experience this too.
Ben?
Yeah, and just to go off that, I mean, we're super blessed that Fritz put together that team back in whatever, third grade, fourth grade, and we came together and ended up at Blue Valley Northwest and got a chance to, you know, be taught such an advanced level of basketball at a young age. And you know, he instilled so many values and, you know, intensity and just the right way to play for me and Clay growing up. And it was just great. So it's good to see that he's kind of, you know, getting in the spotlight a little bit. He's came down to all the games, and, you know, he's so happy for us. And, you know, it's really special. It speaks a lot to how great of a coach he was that, you know, me, Mason, and Clay all down here playing in the Elite Eight.
Here on the right, second row.
Yeah, it's Steve Hummer from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Clayton, I don't know, I guess you and Dean were back-to-back Gatorade Players of the Year, right, in Kansas. How well do you know each other as that? And along with that, why are there so many Kansas people in this tournament at this stage?
Yeah, I mean, I think it speaks to Kansas high school basketball. I mean, I think there's a lot of good players in the area. I mean, Dean was a really good player in high school, and we don't know each other barely at all. So I had somebody tweet a picture at me. There was like a all-state banquet thing when I was like a sophomore or junior, and I didn't even remember that we were both on it at the same time, but there was like, we were standing right next to each other in the picture, me and Dean. So that was kind of funny, but we don't really know each other very well at all. But I mean, I think it just goes to show that there's good, Kansas high school basketball might be a little underrated, and I think that it might deserve a little bit more respect.
Clayton, a little detail kind of, but I noticed after the last game, you did a TV interview on the court, and you turned, and a number of K-State players just came up to you and congratulated you. Were those guys you knew, or was that just they were swept up in the ending and happy for you and all that?
Well, so one of them was Mason Schoen, and me and Ben played high school basketball with him. He went to Blue Valley Northwest with us, but he was a year older than us. We won a state championship together, so we obviously have a really close relationship with him, and we're happy for him that we're in the situation. And then the other one was Ahmad Wainwright. We grew up playing against him around the area in Kansas City, and his older brother Ishmael played at Baylor, and we all know each other. We all work out in the same gyms all the time in Kansas City. So, we have mutual respect for each other, and I think that we're all happy that we're in this like experiencing this at the same time.
Let's go fifth row in the middle.
New Bias, Mobile One Sport News. I guess kind of probably following up on his question, but what will it be like, particularly playing against guys who you played against in high school, now seeing them on this level, on the biggest stage you guys have ever been on both sides?
Is this for Clayton?
Clayton, yes.
Okay.
I mean, it'll be cool. I mean, I think once the ball goes up, I mean, it's a basketball game. We're going to be competing, trying to win the game. But I mean, obviously, we know a couple of the guys over there, and we know what they can do. So I mean, I think we'll be talking to our guys about the guys we know on their team, and I'm sure they'll be talking about us over there. So, like I said, I think once the ball goes up, it's a competition, and we're gonna try to win the game.
Ben?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely a lot of mutual respect. You know, we kind of understand, you know, where each other has been and a lot of the hard work that each other has put in. You know, like Clay said, we've spent a lot of time working out in the same gyms and for a long time. I mean, the first time we played in an open gym against Ish and Ahmad, probably in like fourth grade, and that was the first time I met them, and we like guest played on tournaments together and stuff like that. So it's cool to see, you know, how far we've all came, and it's a good, you know, mutual respect for the way that, you know, each of us has worked on our game to get to this stage in the Elite Eight.
The guys from Blue Valley Northwest, some fun stories there, and they made their coach Ed Fritz kind of a folk hero. As we talked about with Stan Weber, he flew down with Coach Fritz to Atlanta, and it's just a great time for a whole lot of people involved with those multi-time state champions from Blue Valley Northwest. And actually, our own Kyle Huppy has some bragging rights. When he was at Gardner-Edgerton, he played basketball. He was a fine basketball player, ended up playing Division III basketball in the Chicago area as well, and he holds a victory over the Blue Valley Northwest guys as early in those guys' careers. They won, Gardner-Edgerton beat Blue Valley Northwest in a regular season game. Bubba Starling playing in that game as well. So he works here at Sports Radio 810 WHB, and one of only six losses. And so funny, the other day, Clayton Custer, or was it Ben Richardson? Ben Richardson, I think, was on the program, and he was asked, I think, in the Final Four or at some point during the interview whether he could name the six losses, and he just ticked them right off. I mean, he just bang, 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 bang. He remembered those, and that's the losses do stick with you when you're such a successful program as well. We appreciate your time today on this Saturday. Brad Porter's up next. If you enjoy just wallowing in the day, Saturday of college basketball and getting yourself ready for it, this was your day, that's for sure. And it continues to be your day as Brad Porter is up next with more NCAA tournament action and preview. And the action actually on the court comes your way starting at 5 o'clock. Westwood One has a pre-game as well. It's all coming your way right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. From here in Omaha, where we'll continue to monitor the Kansas Jayhawks and on to San Antonio, perhaps. That'll be decided tomorrow. Kansas State could punch their ticket today. It's a great Saturday, and it continues right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.